YouTubers Joe Sullivan walks, Google accounts get passkey auth, and the US takes down the pay-to-check card checking service. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 5th of May, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, former Uber Chief Security Officer Joe Sullivan has avoided prison time for covering up a data breach at Uber in 2016. He was convicted of obstructing justice and hiding the breach from the FTC in October of last year. He was sentenced to 3 years probation. Prosecutors were seeking a sentence of 15 months imprisonment. Sullivan's legal team argued that sending him to prison would deter skilled individuals from taking CSO and CISO positions in the future, fearing they'd be asked to hide breaches and then thrown under the bus. In other news, Google has rolled out support for passkeys for Google accounts across all its services and platforms. Passkeys are a new technology meant to replace passwords and allow users to access an online account by authenticating on their computer or mobile phone using a fingerprint, facial scan, or PIN. Passkey authentication mechanisms are already supported in Chrome and all the major browsers, but passkeys still need to be supported on the server side by online services. Google joins a list of 40 other online service providers that support passkeys for user authentication, like Microsoft, eBay, PayPal, and Shopify. Users can enable a passkey for their Google account in their account's security settings section. The Money Message ransomware gang has leaked the private cryptographic keys for hundreds of MSI products, according to Alex Matrosov, the founder and CEO of firmware security company Binaly. Leaked private keys include firmware image signing keys for 57 MSI products and Intel bootguard keys for 116 MSI products. The leak originates from a ransomware attack that hit MSI's US branch in early April. The company refused to pay the ransom demand. Meta's security team has disrupted the operations of a newly launched malware family named NodeStealer earlier this year. The company says it worked with domain registrars and web hosting providers to take down the malware's web infrastructure. Meta says the malware launched in late January, but no new samples have been seen since February 27. Meta says the malware appears to have been created and distributed by threat actors based in Vietnam. It was written in JavaScript and worked by extracting credentials and session cookies from a victim's local browser, with a focus on collecting Facebook, Gmail, and Outlook credentials. U.S. authorities have charged Russian national Denis Kulkov with running Try to Check, which is an underground service used by carding gangs to check the validity of stolen credit card numbers. Authorities have taken down the site's servers and are offering a $10 million reward for any information leading to Kulkov's arrest. The U.S. Justice Department estimates Kulkov made more than $18 million in Bitcoin from the site. The service launched in 2005, and officials say Try to Check became a primary enabler in the trade in stolen credit card information and process tens of millions of card numbers every year. Croatian company Orca says a greedy former contractor planted a ransomware time bomb in the firmware of some of its products with the intention of extracting a ransom. Orca says the time bomb triggered over the last weekend on April 29 and crashed the bootloader of drone video goggles the company makes. The company says that the malicious code was planted in its firmware years in advance. It also believes the incident was intentionally timed to take place on the Saturday of May 1st, which is the Labor Day weekend, when its support teams would not be in the office and when most drone owners would be outside flying their devices. The company has released fixes for owners with bricked devices and has hinted at pending legal and criminal proceedings. A ransomware gang has breached the internal network of a US university and hijacked its emergency alert system to threaten students and faculty members with data leaks unless a ransom is paid. The incident affected Bluefield University, which is a small private university in the state of Virginia. The university's RAM alert system is typically used to warn students via email and SMS about the cancellations of classes due to weather, IT outages, and active shooter drills. The AVOS ransomware gang took credit for the incident in some of the messages sent throughout last week. Dallas, the ninth largest city in the US, was hit by a ransomware attack that's disrupted its IT networks and official websites. The city's 311 public service hotline, municipal court, police department, and city hall IT services have all been disrupted. The attack took place on Wednesday, May the 3rd, and was allegedly carried out using the Royal ransomware. The gang apparently started printing its ransom note out on all of the city's available printers. A security researcher with the pseudonym Nescafe 3v1 hijacked 14 PHP libraries published on the Packages repository. The researcher defaced the library's descriptions with a message asking for a job. They were popular packages, four of the packages had more than 20 million lifetime downloads, and one of them had 528 million lifetime downloads. The packages team told Bleepin Computer that no malicious actions were observed on the platform as a result of the incident. Packages says the hijacks took place after the researcher compromised maintainer accounts that were using weak credentials. Amnesty International's security team has discovered traces of the NSO Group's Pegasus spyware on the personal device of Nuria Piera, one of the Dominican Republic's most prominent investigative journalists. Piera's work is primarily focused on government corruption. Researchers say Piera's smartphone was infected three times between 2020 and 2021. Amnesty says it's now observed cases of spyware deployed against journalists in 18 countries around the world. Checkpoint researchers have discovered a new Android malware strain named Fluhorse that mimics legitimate applications in order to infect users and steal mobile banking credentials, bypass 2FA, and then steal funds from their bank accounts. Checkpoint says they found the malware in two apps available on the official Play Store, both of which were installed more than 1 million times. The two apps targeted users located in Vietnam and Taiwan, but the researchers believe other Fluhorse-infected apps are still out there targeting other Asian countries. Kaspersky has also discovered another malware strain that passed through Google's Play Store filters. The company says it recently uncovered 11 Play Store apps that were infected with a new Android Trojan. Named FleckPy, the malware operates by subscribing users to unwanted premium services. Kaspersky says FleckPy appears to have been active since 2022 and was downloaded on more than 620,000 devices so far. And finally, the US Federal Trade Commission has proposed barring Meta from monetizing children's data. FTC officials say the company violated a 2020 privacy order in regard to its Facebook Messenger for Kids service. The agency says Meta misled parents about their ability to control who their children communicate with through the Messenger Kids app and misrepresented the access some app developers had to children's data. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Proofpoint Senior Threat Intelligence Analyst Selena Larson with a teaser for the company's talk at the upcoming SleuthCon Security Conference.
The cybercriminal ecosystem has experienced a monumental shift in activity and threat behavior over the last year in a way not previously observed by threat researchers. Financially motivated threat actors that gain initial access via email are no longer using static, predictable attack chains, but rather dynamic and rapidly changing techniques. Proofpoint's upcoming research details how threat actors continue to test various threat behaviors to determine the most effective method of gaining initial access via email. There is no reliable, consistent technique adopted by the entire threat landscape. Also, threat actors follow the leader. One or a group of threat actors may adopt a new technique, and in subsequent weeks or months, researchers will observe the same technique used by multiple threat actors. And finally, some more sophisticated e-crime actors have the time and resources available to develop, iterate, and test different malware delivery techniques. Tune in to the SleuthCon Cybercrime Conference on May 12th to learn more, or the Proofpoint blog in the coming weeks to check out this research.
And that was Selena Larson from today's sponsor, Proofpoint. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter. Just head to riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for your company.